بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. This class shall cover a great sunnah, a sunnah of thankfulness, the sunnah of al-aqiqah. Al-aqiqah linguistically means al-qat', literally cutting and severing. And from that is the cutting ties or severing ties with kinship and with parents. This is the linguistic meaning of al-aqiqah. From aqqa, al-aqq. Islamically, legally, the term aqiqa means the animal sacrificed upon having a child born, whether male or female, in gratitude to Allah. This is the legal meaning of al-aqiqah. Concerning the born child, it is praiseworthy to give glad tidings to the one whom Allah bestows a child. قال الله تعالى about إبراهيم فبشرناه بغلام عليم, as in سورة الصافات 37. وقال الله تعالى وامرأته قائمة, in سورة هود 11:71. وامرأته قائمة فضحكت فبشرناها بإسحاق ومن وراء إسحاق يعقوب. And his wife was standing there and she laughed, either because the messengers did not eat their food, you know, in that story, or being glad for the destruction of the people of Lut. But we gave her, here's the point of evidence, glad tidings of Ishaq and after him Yaqub. And if one could not carry the glad tidings for the delivery of the child, then it's praiseworthy to congratulate. And there is a difference between giving glad tidings and between congratulation. The glad tidings is informing of that which pleases someone, and the congratulating is dua lahu bil khair, is invoking Allah to bestow goodness upon him after knowing. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the repentance of Ka'b bin Malik and the two other companions who stayed behind during the battle of Tabuk. After they repented, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their repentance. One of the companions came giving him the glad tidings of the news concerning the acceptance of his repentance. Then after Ka'b entered the masjid, the Sahaba came congratulating him. Then upon the child's birth, should one make adhan in the right ear and make iqama in the left one? There is a narration from Abi Rafi'a radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that I saw the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam making adhan in the ear of Al-Hasan bin Ali upon his birth, when Fatima gave birth to him. But this narration is weak. This narration is weak, reported by Ahmad and Abu Dawood and others, but it is weak. And Ibn Abbas also has part of this narration, is that the Prophet ﷺ made adhan in the right ear of Al-Hasan bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma when he was born, and he made iqama in the left one. And this is reported by Abi Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ahmad and others. But the part about Ibn Abbas is reported by Al-Bayhaqi, and it is also weak. On the other hand, it's a sunnah to make tahniq, rubbing the child palak with a date or something sweet like honey, to chew on the date and then to put it in the mouth of the child and rub the palak with it, rubbing the chins to train it to eat. And this is affirmed from the hadith of Asma bint Abi Bakr, may Allah be pleased with her and her father, as in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. In Bukhari volume 5, hadith 248. And also Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha reported that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to receive the children. The Sahaba would send him the children and would bless them and then make tahniq for them in the way described earlier. And then it is legal to perform the aqiqah. And in the hadith which is reported by Imam al-Bukhari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the hadith of Salman bin Amir al-Dhubi, he said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, ma'al ghulami aqiqah, with the boy there is an aqiqah, فَأَهْرِيقُ عَنْهُ دَمَهُ وَأَمِيطُ عَنْهُ الْأَذَى. Then sacrifice and relieve him of his suffering. So slaughter an animal for him and relieve him of his suffering. And in the other hadith, كُلُّ غُلَامٍ مُرْتَهَنٌ بِعَقِيقَتِهِ, every boy, غُلَام, is held confined, held up, until he is ransomed by the slaughtering of an animal for him. What is the meaning of murtahan, held up? Murtahan. One of the meanings is that that the child is restrained or held up from offering intercession to his parents on the day of resurrection. And this is an opinion said by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. However, this is or was disputed by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, where he considered that this is a weak interpretation, because the matter of shafa'ah and intercession is something approved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the first place for whomever he wishes. And the second interpretation is that he is restrained or refrained or held up by shaitan, where shaitan wants to or intends to keep the children of Adam restrained from the moment they come to life. And so this sacrifice is like a ransom that relieves him from restrainment and puts him in a state of relaxedness and openness of chest to move on to attain that which is beneficial for himself, and that the child benefits from this sacrifice just as he benefits from the dua. In fact, in the hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned, "من أراد أن يمسك عن ولده فليفعل." Anyone who intends to offer nusuk, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used the term nusuk, the ritual sacrifice for his child, let him do. Nusuk, like udhiya, like hadi. The udhiya, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala set it as a ransom for Ismail alayhi salam. Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah said that it is not at all something to be a kind of a cause for the safety of the child from the harm of shaitan by offering this ransom. So therefore, there is no doubt that the aqiqah, there is wisdom and there is benefits, or there are benefits to it. From that is gratitude, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the favor of the child. And the children are from the beautifications of this life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it in the fitrah, in the natural state of the human to be delighted for the birth of the children. And therefore, this requires that the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be thanked, that he thank him for his fairness, for his favors upon us. And it came in one report from Al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when giving congratulations to the upon the birth of a child, that he used to say, Barakallahu laka fil mawhub, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you in what he gave you, وَشَكَرْتَ الْوَاهِبِ, and that you give thanks to the one who bestowed this upon you. وَبَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ وَرُزِقْتَ بِرَّهُ, that he attains his full stage of maturity and you, and may Allah give you his good treatment, his bestow upon you his good treatment of you. So there is no doubt that it is a kind of thanks and means of nearness to Allah. And from the benefits, there is the freeing of the child and his ransom. And from the benefits is that it increases the good ties of Muslims, in the sense that when the news of arrival of a child becomes manifest to the families and to the neighbors and to the friends, they come and congratulate and they attend the aqiqah. And so also there is another benefit, and that is care. The one who offers the aqiqah, slaughters the animal, sends from it to the poor and to the friends and to the neighbors, or invites them. So this eases the difficulty on the poor and the needy through such a caring process. Now, what is the ruling on the aqiqah? The correct ruling on the aqiqah is that it is a sunnah mu'akkada. A sunnah mu'akkada. An affirmed sunnah, an asserted sunnah. And some of the scholars want to consider it obligated. But the correct opinion is that the hadith which we mentioned earlier, من أراد أن ينسك عن ولده فليفعل, anyone who wants to offer the sacrifice, the ritual of sacrifice for his child, let him do so. This takes away the obligation of a command, because this is left with a choice. Because an obligatory matter is not dependent upon one's choice. So this indicates that it is an affirmed sunnah, but not an obligation. This is the preponderating opinion. Yet it is disliked to abandon it. It is disliked to abandon it. Even to the extent that Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, was asked as to a person who is not able to offer the aqiqah, he said he can borrow money and make the aqiqah, and I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him to pay back, because in this case he revived a sunnah. However, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said that he borrows if he is able to pay back, otherwise no, because borrowing will hold himself responsible, and the loan is an obligation to pay back, and the aqiqah is a sunnah. If he is unable to pay, or if he does not hope that he may have the ability to offer the aqiqah soon, then he may wait. He may wait. Now, who is addressed in the aqiqah? Who is addressed in the aqiqah to offer the aqiqah? The father is the one who is addressed. And this is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. He is the one who spends, and he is the one who is addressed, and he is the closest in relation for authoritative guardianship on the child. So it is a sunnah with respect to the father, and if the father is not present and died and his wife is pregnant with the child, then in this case the mother would replace the father in this situation. The sunnah is that the aqidah, time wise, the sunnah is that it is to be held on the seventh day. So if the child is born on Saturday, then the aqiqah is to be held on Friday, a day before the day of birth. A day before the day of birth. This is the guideline. So if he is born, if the child is born on Thursday, then it will be on Wednesday, and so forth. And the wisdom is that the day, the seventh day, is the day which completes the days of the year. So if the child is born on Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the entire days of the year which repeat themselves, which repeat over the year, will pass during the week. And the wisdom behind this, as Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned, is that when the child is born, his situation fluctuates between safety and destruction, and it's not known whether he will be from those who will have life or not until a period passes whereby his conditions will show whether there is a tendency of safety and good health, and that this period is a period of seven, the days of the week, because this is a turn over of the days, just as the year is a turn over of months, that these days are the stages of one's early part of the lifespan, if completed will move to the months and then the years. And therefore the best time to offer the aqiqah is on the 7th, and if that is missed, then in the 14th, and if that is missed, is in the 21st, and if that is missed, then it is not really limited. And suppose if he slaughters before the seventh, then it is sufficient. But it is better that it is on the seventh. What happens if the child dies before the seventh? Some of the scholars are with the opinion that the aqiqah is lifted, and the other opinion is that it's not, and that it is offered even if he is born dead. Because what is intended is giving thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that this child, we know from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if someone someone's child or three or two of his children die before reaching the age of puberty, then there will be a shield for him from fire. And therefore, if he is going to benefit, and this is an agreed upon hadith, if he is going to benefit from that in the hereafter, then it is from gratitude for this favor that he offers the aqiqah. Similarly, the same opinion holds in the case of miscarriage. If the load is aborted after the soul was breathed unto him, and the soul is breathed when he completes 4 months, then in this case the aqiqah is offered. And before that, it is not. Because before that he is not a human, and the fetus is not resurrected on the day of resurrection if it is aborted before the breathing of the soul in it, because there is no soul in it, so that it will return to him on the day of resurrection. And also the aqiqah is still a sunnah even if the child dies after the seventh. Now, if a person, if a aqiqah was not offered on a person's behalf for his birth, meaning his father did not offer the aqiqah, then this person may do the aqiqah not on behalf of himself, but rather with the intention that is, it is on behalf of his father, because there is no evidence for offering the aqiqah for himself. If there is someone who takes care of spending upon this child after his father, then he may do the aqiqah for this child. What about if the aqiqah, the time of the seventh, coincides with the udhiyah on the 10th day? Would the udhiyah be sufficient for the aqiqah. One opinion is that it is sufficient, arguing that these two worships are of the same kind. Just like if a day of Eid coincides with a day of Jumu'ah, if someone offers the Salah of the Eid, then the Jumu'ah is not required. The second opinion, that it is not sufficient. And this is one report from Imam Ahmad. And the argument here is that the two acts of worship have different causes. The two acts of worship have different causes. And this is the closest opinion to being correct. This is the closest of the two to being correct. As to the number and type of animal sacrificed, the best is to offer two sheep for the boy, two sheep similar and equivalent in size, health, and one sheep for the girl, as came in the hadith, and this is hadith sahih, عن الغلام شاتان مكافئتان وعن الجارية شاة. So these two in age similar, in size, in build up, the more they are similar, the better. And there are other narrations where it's reported that the Prophet ﷺ slaughtered one sheep for Hassan and one sheep for Al-Husayn, one for each. This is in his action sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in his sayings alayhi salatu wa sallam, two for the boy and one for the girl. And the hadiths of the two takes precedence over the hadiths of the one for each, because they are stronger in terms of authenticity, and because also they involve addition, and since there is an addition, authentic of course, then one should take by it. Similarly, the narrations about the two sheep are from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's sayings, and the narrations about one sheep are from his actions, and as it is known, his sayings in terms of the hukum are stronger and take precedence with respect when compared to the reports about his actions. So if one sheep is offered, then that is sufficient, but the best and the recommended is to offer two for the boy and one for the girl. And this is how the two hadiths or the two types of narrations are reconciled. As to the type of the offering, then it is from cattle. The best would be the sheep. From cattle, meaning sheep, goats, camels, cows. But the best is the sheep. And if the person would offer a camel, then the camel for each born. So if there are twins and he intends to offer a camel or a cow, then it must be one for each. No sharing in this sense. On the seventh day, the child is to be given a name. However, if a person had prepared already a name for his child, then it is okay to give him the name upon his birth. And the evidence for this is that when the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام mentioned وَلِدَ لِيَ اللَّيْلَ وَلَدٌ سَمَّيْتُهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, this night a child was born for me, I named him Ibrahim. So he named him right upon his birth because he already prepared the name. Also on the seventh, one should shave the boy's hair, the hair of his head, and offers in charity its equivalent from silver. This is required if there is a professional person to do this, a professional barber able to shave the head, because it may be that a unprofessional person may not be able to do this with a young child at this age, and it would be difficult to control his movement. And we know that his head is fragile, so this could lead to serious consequences if done by someone who is not professional. So in this case, if there is no person to do this, then one may give an estimate of the weight of his hair and give in sadaqah the equivalent in silver currency. Estimate how much of silver is this, and then see how much the silver exchange for the regular currency, and offer the equivalent. As to the female child, then there is no shaving for her head. Although the hadith in general may indicate so, in general, what's apparent from the hadith, it may indicate so. However, the correct opinion that this is a matter particular to the male child, and we know that in the rituals, in Hajj, we know that it is better to shave the head of the male, and with respect to the hair, rather there is shortening for the female, taking some of her hair. And with respect to the name chosen, the person should choose the best name for his child, and such that he should think of the future, choosing a name which does not cause any harm to the child in the future. Because it may be that the chosen name first may be liked, but in the future it could be a source of harm for the child. after he grows as a man or a woman. So therefore he should choose the best and most beloved to Allah. And أحب الأسماء إلى الله عبد الله وعبد الرحمن. And the best names to Allah are Abdullah and عبد الرحمن. And if Abdullah's names and عبد الرحمن names are quite abundant in his family, and it will be difficult to distinguish who is who until you go to the fifth grandfather, then he may choose that which is good and fitting. And it is forbidden to choose a name that is haram, like Abdul Rasul, the slave of the messenger, or Abdul Hussein, or Abdul Ali, as the rejectionists of the Rafida do. And also there is some ignorance whereby some people may want to take some names that are present in the Quran as a sort of a blessing, and they just pick and choose without thinking and understanding what they mean. And there was a case where somebody named his child Nektel. Nektel. When you read Surah Yusuf 12:63, فَأَرْسِلْ مَعَنَا أَخَانَا نَكْتَلْ. He thought that Nektel here means أَخَانَا, a brother of Yusuf. So he named his child Nektel. Let's have this verse. So when they returned to their father, they said, "Our father, no more measure of grain shall we get unless we take our brother. So send our brother with us and we shall get our measure." Nektel, get our measure. This is the meaning of Nektel, get our measure. So he thought Nektel here is the name of Yusuf's brother. This is some ignorance. So one should really choose the names present in his tradition and known to his people, and there is nothing wrong legally in them. And as to choosing names that are particular to the kafirs, then this is haram, because this would be from the most profound measure of resemblance. So if the Muslim chooses like a name for his child as George, for example, this will be considered as a means of magnification. As to the names of the angels, some of the ulama mentioned that taking the names of the angels is haram, is forbidden. Others said it is makruh, disliked, and others said it is allowable. And the closest opinion is, it is disliked to name angels, take angels' name, like those of Jibril, Mikael, Israfil. And as to the names which may be present in the Quran, as long as there is nothing forbidding that, then it is fine, like taking the name of Sundus, for example, there's no problem. And there is no sanctification in the names. So the more the people choose the names, or rather choosing the names which are familiar to people and in their tradition, and there is nothing illegal with that, then this would take precedence. Now as to what to do with the aqiqah meat after slaughtering it, one may eat from it, and one may give gifts also, and one may give also as a charity. And many of the scholars, rahimahumullah, recommended to cook the meat rather, and to give it in charity, or to invite the poor for the cooked meat. That's also permissible. And also they considered it also okay to invite the friends and the relatives and the neighbors and the poor to eat it. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said that if he cooks it, then this way he will save the poor and the neighbors the labor of cooking and the hardship of that. And this is the increase in goodness and in easing it on the people. As to the conditions of the aqiqah of the animal, it must reach the legal age, 6 months for the sheep, 1 year for the goat, 2 years for the cow, 5 years for the camel. And secondly, it must be free of defects. And also, it is not permissible to share in the offering. For example, to slaughter a camel on behalf of 7 born children, or a cow for this matter. Each born has one offering. And some of the ulama, rahimahumullah, recommended that when slaughtering it and cutting the parts is to avoid cutting or destroying the bones, but to keep the bones intact with the flesh on them and to cook them as they are, or give them as they are in charity or as a gift. This brings the end of this discussion concerning the aqiqah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it a benefit for myself and for everyone who listens to it, and to all of you. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.